This is The Drive with Josh Graham Podcast. Tune into The Drive weekday afternoons, 3 to 7 on Sports Hub Triad.
Steve Forbes was introduced officially this morning, and now that I've had time to hear him speak, run some of the numbers, and heck, see him spike a medical face mask into the practice gym floor, I think Forbes is the most qualified coach Wake Forest has ever hired. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be nearly as successful as Skip Prosser or Dave Odom, because let's face it, the league, it's expanded, and when that happens, the job becomes more difficult at Wake Forest, being the smallest private institution across the Power Six conferences, but this is the strongest resume that the school's ever attracted. And it starts with sheer winning. Forbes won 75% of his games at East Tennessee State. His record, 130-43. To put that in perspective, when Wake hired Skip in 2001, Skip Robert won 69% of his games with the Musketeers.
Nice.
He did that in 6 years. Danny Manning, 38-29 at Tulsa. That was before they joined the American. Conference USA, I covered Conference USA at that time. Not awesome. If you look at some of the other hires Wake's made in the modern era, it's hard to compare the hires of head coaches to hires of assistants like Dave Odom was. Longtime assistant for Terry Holland at Virginia. His one head coaching stint before Wake was East Carolina in the early 80s, and he had an under 500 record. Jeff Bezdelic, sub 500 at Colorado. And I get it. The A-10 right now is a better basketball conference than the SoCon is. So you might be thinking, okay, Skip's still a better candidate. But let's not knock the SoCon completely. I think it's a decent mid-major league with... When you look at the overall span of conferences, there's 32 in D1. You have the Power 6 conferences, which leave 26 mid-majors. If you just look at KenPom rankings, the SoCon ranks 7th out of the 26 mid-majors. 7 out of 26. To look at the 8-10's rating, they were 8th. So 5 spots better than the SoCon. Better league, the A-10. But I think the A-10's also gotten a lot better over the last two decades. Now let's look at the rest of Forbes' resume. Assistant at Tennessee when the Volunteers were most relevant. With all due respect to Ernie Grunfeld and Bernard King, Tennessee, with Forbes as Bruce Pearl's assistant, became the number one team for the first time in program history in 2008. They made it to the Elite Eight in 2010. Most importantly to Wake Forest fans, even the people, myself included, who were criticizing his methods of recruiting at East Tennessee State. Top 10 recruiting classes in 06, 08, and 2010. This is the part that impresses me the most, though. This is what Mike DeCourcy, Hall of Fame sports writer for the Sporting News, was writing about this morning. Mike's going to join us in 10 minutes. He survived a show cause, and he thrived afterwards. If you're concerned about the show calls and the troubles with the NCAA, it really wasn't Forbes' fault. Bruce Pearl and his staff, they all got flamed when Pearl lied to the NCAA. That's what got him. It wasn't really the actions. It was the fact that Pearl lied and the entire staff had to be punished. So after that, Forbes goes to junior college. He's making $60,000 a year. And he's just winning. 62-6 in JUCO. He actually joked at his press conference earlier today that when Brad Stevens goes to back-to-back Final Fours, he gets the Celtics job. When I go to back-to-back Final Fours, winning in JUCO, I get to be an assistant for Greg Marshall at Wichita State. Coach Marshall, a guest on today's show, he's going to be with us at 5:30. But they also put players in the NBA at Wichita. Ron Baker, Cle Anthony Early, Fred VanVleet. After that, 75% winner at East Tennessee State. And that's 90 minutes away from where he was fired in Knoxville. So I love his story. I think he might be the most qualified candidate Wake Forest has ever hired. And your thoughts are welcome on the subject on Twitter at SportsHubTriad. There's a Carolina Panthers headline I want to get to as well. 336-777-1600 if you want in on the show. Let's go to John in Greensboro, who wants in on the coaching hire Wake Forest just made. John, what do you have for me?
Hey, Josh. Love the show. Question for you. You know, obviously, surveying everything, Forbes, you're a big-time winner. I love your take that you just gave there. And it seems like his number one task is going to be to keep current players who have entered the transfer portal, try to get them back. So, you know, it's going to be a tough task. But kind of switching gears, and if you're Wes Miller right now, should you be relieved given the situation of Olivier Azar leaving the program, some of these other players leaving, that the trajectory of your coaching career possibly could have taken a turn for the worse if you were given the Wake job? You know, would you be relieved if you're Wes Miller today?
Thank you for the call, John. I appreciate that. I don't think you take a basketball job because of the talent that's currently in place. I thought it was a mistake in the mid-2000s for Wake to promote Dino because they wanted to salvage the recruiting class that was there. You got to think as a CEO, as an AD, as a coach, you got to think broader. You got to look at things in a five-year window, not just a one- or a two-year window. So I really don't think Wes is thinking any differently when he sees these guys enter the transfer portal. It doesn't mean that they're all going to leave. Jacoby Neath, Odie Aguama, Ishmael Massoud, Olivier Saar this morning. Forbes is going to have an opportunity to recruit all of these guys back, as he mentioned when he met with the media via Zoom or WebEx, whatever they call it. I think Wes is fine at Greensboro. He just recruited his best class. He hasn't really reaped the rewards of what he's built over the last 4 years yet. He's 37 years old. He's going to have plenty of opportunities. Also, he didn't have the relationship with John Curry that Forbes did. Forbes, they knew each other. Back in Tennessee, 3 years overlapping. That stuff really matters. And the circumstances, I think, weren't ideal for anybody being considered unless you trusted the person you were working with so much. You couldn't meet in person. Even Wes, I don't think, met in person amid the pandemic. Everybody was kept indoors, social distancing, all of that. So I think Wes is fine, and a better opportunity is going to come somewhere down the line. But I do love the personality of Forbes. Here's something that really stood out to me. Yesterday, we knew this guy was a different cat than Danny Manning or Jeff Vizdelic when he's spiking a medical face mask into the ground and that becomes a viral video. But then he opens up his press conference by telling what I found to be a tremendous story, speaking to how important family is.
It's been a long road from Lone Tree, Iowa, to Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Before I get started, too, I want to thank my family. You know, John talked about that. Behind every coach is a great family. My wife, Janetta, is at home. We've been married 32 years. She paid me back on Wednesday night for taking her on our honeymoon 32 years ago to Omaha, Nebraska, for a job interview for a GA job. She thought I said Oahu, but I really said Omaha. And so she reminded me when I went to bed on Wednesday night who was actually coaching in the ACC. And she told me that I had to coach against Coach K and Coach Williams and Jim Boeheim. And I told her, well, thanks a lot. I'll get a lot of sleep tonight.
A couple of housekeeping notes. John Curry is going to be our guest on Monday's show. Look forward to getting some more details about this entire search process that ultimately led to Wake hiring Coach Forbes. Also, I have a poll out for Carolina Panthers fans at Josh Graham Radio. Who do you view as Carolina's greatest rival? The Saints, the Bucks, the Falcons, or other? Right now, we got 150-plus votes. 57% of you say it's the Falcons over the Saints, which drew 33% of the vote. I think it's the Saints because of headlines like today. where Sean Payton told Jeff Duncan of The Athletic they drafted Tommy Stevens without a seventh-round draft pick. They traded up back into the draft, late rounds, and gave up a six-rounder next year. So they get this kid who is a Taysom Hill type, and more importantly, the Panthers don't. Because at about that point in the draft, you're trying to figure out who the undrafted free agents are going to be on your team. You're already cutting deals. Hey, if you don't get drafted, then you're going to be ours at this price. The Saints learned that Carolina, which already had Joe Brady and Teddy Bridgewater, defectors from the New Orleans system, they're trying to recreate that in Carolina under Matt Rhule. They had already come to an agreement with Stevens. They beat the Saints to the punch. Sean Payton wasn't going to be beaten, though. And apparently, after they traded up, he texted Joe Brady some effect to better luck next time. I don't know what the bigger headline is. That the Saints did this to kind of cut at the Panthers? Or Carolina looking to add a Taysom Hill type? Could it be PJ Walker who's already on the roster? Tough to say. But I think for reasons like this, and Cam Jordan, every time I've talked to him after Panthers-Saints games, taking shots at Cam Newton one time, after the game in 2018, Cam's last game of the year with the shoulder injury, he said, oh, I don't even know if it is an injured shoulder. And he did the air quotes. He questioned whether or not Cam was actually hurt that year. And he was just twisting the knife. He has fun being the villain at times. A lot of consequential games between the two. Carolina beating New Orleans, the Dominic Kixon game in 13. The playoff game, I don't think Carolina's played Atlanta or the Buccaneers in the playoffs, but they played New Orleans, and it was a really good game. Carolina had the game-winning drive, the 15-1 season, coming all the way back. So I'm going to disagree with the audience here, even though I'm not a hardcore, emotionally attached Carolina Panthers fan anymore. I thought it would be the Saints, not the Falcons, who Panther fans would consider their greatest rival. But you could continue to vote on that on Twitter, at SportsUpTriad, at Josh Graham Radio. And those are also the ways you could chime in as well. What is the ceiling winning at Wake Forest? Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News will tell us next.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves to daydream about sports. Mostly about being the locker room towel boy. You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
One of my favorite writers on college basketball is Mike DeCourcy. He was writing on Steve Forbes at Wake Forest earlier today. Enjoyed that. Also have enjoyed the work you've done this week on college basketball, the NCAA's Board of Governors recommending that the NCAA implement NIL forward-thinking legislation by the end of the year. That could be implemented in January 2021. There's so much to get to here with Mike DeCourcy, who's on Twitter at TSN Mike. Let's start with this. When Wake Forest was thinking about a coaching change, we talked about the difficulty of the Wake Forest job and how it's changed in the last few decades. When I look at the resume that Steve Forbes has, it's arguably the best, most qualified resume a coach has had coming into this place. However, now that there's 15 teams in the conference and Wake Forest has been downtrodden the last decade, what do you view the ceiling to be for Steve Forbes at Wake?
Well, you know, I think he would be the best qualified since Skip Prosser. And Skip, again, walked into the league when it was still what's now becoming it. This is not to be meant as a pejorative, but for the sake of brevity, I called it a boutique league because it was, you know, you had to, you know, it was first class, but it was exclusive. You had to, it was hard to get in, and now it's huge. I mean, there's 15 members, so the exclusivity, the ability for 9 teams to go out and say, you want to play in the ACC, the league where basketball is the game. It's hard because we only got 9 opportunities. One of these 9, if nobody wants you, you can't get in. And now it's almost open to everybody. I mean, you have to be talented and everything, but there's room on 15 rosters to be an ACC player. So that changes the dynamic a lot, and it has for Wake. And so that's what Steve has to overcome over the next several years. But let me tell you, he is a coach. I mean, when I will tell you right now, nobody shuddered in fear at Carolina or Duke or whomever, but they all said, "Oh, they hired a coach." The ones who know, they know. They hired a real coach, a guy who can really get it done. It's a very difficult job, but they put it in the hands of someone who is capable of doing a very difficult job. And I wrote a column last night that basically said, look, if you can rebuild your career in a decade from where he was after he was dismissed by Tennessee in 2010, along with Bruce Pearl and the rest of that staff, and then put on a one-year show cause in 2011 after they got through at UT with the infractions committee, and you can go from there to a guy who averages 26 wins and gets two NCAA tournament bids in a balanced league, you know what you're doing. And Steve has done that every step of the way, from the two great teams he had at Northwest Florida to getting on with Greg Marshall and helping Wichita get to the Final Four when they were still a mid-major, and then to go on and do what he did at East Tennessee State. I've known Steve for a long time, and I can say that the Wake Forest absolutely hired a terrific coach.
Will these recommendations from the Board of Governors I referenced earlier keep a percentage of college products, prospects who are considering the NBA in school? I asked Roy Williams that question the day of, and Roy said he didn't think it would.
I think it will. I do.
I agree.
I think it will. I think it will keep some guys in school. Some guys are going now, not because they're tired of college basketball or necessarily feeling like they clearly aren't ready. I mean, if you're not drafted, you're not ready. But I think that what you're seeing is guys are tired of not making money, or maybe tired of hearing from their folks. Are you ever going to make some money? All these other guys are out there signing $1 million contracts. What's wrong with you? Well, now, you know, we don't know what the market's going to be like for their autographs or their endorsement or whatever. But it's possible that if it's robust, that it will be something that will entice some guys to say, hey, I got it pretty good here. I've got, you know, a great education for no cost. I'm getting great training. I'm loving playing for my school, and I'm on the weekends. I'm signing autographs, and I'm making $5,000 or whatever it is. Who knows?
I think it depends, obviously, on how good the player is. I think Zion Williamson spends another year at Duke if it happens. I think he wanted to come back. If he's allowed to sign the shoe deal that he signed with Air Jordan, I think he's back in school.
Yeah, you know, that's what's going to be interesting. They sort of kicked the can down the road a little bit on the shoe deals, because what do you do with, you know, when, especially if it's conflicting? I don't think it would have been as problematic for him to endorse Air Jordans with Duke and Nike school. What if you get a player who is from an opposite shoe company or wants to wear an opposite shoe company? It's going to get dicey there. I don't really. They had one line in the document. It was a 31-page document. They had one line that probably should have been reconsidered, where they tried to make it seem like they don't want you to have shoe endorsements because of the problems that developed 2017 and led to the trials and all that. That's a dodge. I thought the rest of it was fine. The people who expected perfection from that committee were being ridiculous, and that includes Donna Shalala, who I thought was totally unfair in her comments to Sports Illustrated. I think the committee did a good job in a difficult task, and they put up a framework that's workable. But that's the one element that's really dicey for them.
I think there's two ways around it. We've seen exceptions to the rule before. I remember I was covering UCF, who's now a Nike school, but I think was Adidas 5 or 6 years ago. And Marcus Jordan, I mean, it's Michael Jordan's son. And the rest of the team's wearing Adidas. He's wearing Air Jordan, and it's Michael Jordan's son. He got an exception. But also, I think about in the NFL and NBA, Cam Newton. He wears all these outlandish types of shoes and stuff during warm-ups from Under Armour. But during the game, he doesn't wear the same shoes he wore during warm-ups. I don't think during the game you'd be allowed to wear whatever you want, but there's so many other opportunities somewhere else.
Yeah, I think some of it's going to come down to how much do the shoe companies want to be to be in business with the schools if they're having that problem persistently. That's a problem the schools don't want because they make a lot of money. The big ones make a lot of money from those deals. They're not making money buying another couch for their offense. They're making money and they're putting another $10,000 into the field hockey team or whatever. I mean, that's where most of the money goes. But it's money that they do need to run their athletic programs the way they want. Just as football season this year is money that they feel they need to run their athletic department.
He's on Twitter at TSM Mike. Read his story on Wake basketball from the last 24 hours. Before I let you go, what's the best movie you've seen lately as we're all locked down?
You know, I will say the best movie that I have seen was an old movie called Funny Face. My wife was in a Audrey Hepburn mood, and so we found that, and we watched that on Amazon, and it was delightful. We really enjoyed that. It was a musical set in Paris. He's wonderful. She's wonderful. It wasn't the greatest musical of all time, but it was definitely worth the 2 hours.
Yeah, I watched the Seinfeld episode from last night where Costanza he was in a book club and he didn't read Breakfast at Tiffany's, so he went to a stranger's place and watched on their couch. So I guess that's a perfect way to tie things up. But we're fascinated to see what's going to happen with Steve Forbes. We got Greg Marshall is going to join us in about 30 minutes to talk about his former assistant. I do appreciate you spending time for us here in the Triad to share your thoughts.
You bet, Josh. Always a pleasure.
You got it. That's Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. Again, from on Twitter at TSN Mike.
Josh Graham loves to talk sports. He also loves writing sports poetry, but he can't think of a rhyme for puck.
Oh, I get it.
You're on The Drive with Josh Graham.
In honor of new Wake Forest basketball coach Steve Forbes, I have my top 10 list devoted to him. Top 10 Steves, because top 10 Forbes would be way too hard to do. If you have any guesses, tweet the show at Sports Hub Triad. Robert, let's dive right in. It's my top 10 Steves.
Best intro you've ever done.
Number 10. My number 10, Steve. Steve McQueen City.
We are two wild and crazy guys.
Yeah. That's a city I miss. Like, when things get back to normal, I'm just going to drive on up Highway 77 to Steve McQueen City. That's what I'm going to do. Number 9. My number 9, Steve. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
This is one wild unit. This is the snake you don't want to get tagged by.
Oh, crikey.
Man, so sad. I only included.
Why did you do that?
I needed Steve noises and Steve Irwin. I figure we could get a good.
You told me you didn't have any Stone Cold in this, and you thought Steve Irwin?
I did. I didn't even think of Steve Austin. I'm
number eight.
Embarrassed.
My number eight, Steve. Even Steven Adams?
I don't know what we're yelling about!
You used to watch the shows Even Stevens?
Oh, yeah. Beans?
Yeah.
The weird kid on there?
Uh-huh. Shia LaBeouf before he became crazy?
Actually, first off, I don't think he's crazy.
I think he is.
I think he was a young kid exposed to a very dynamic industry that
which
can
made
mess
him
people.
Crazy.
I don't think that he's the same way. I don't think that Gary Busey's crazy. Is he a little off kilter? Yes, for sure. Is Gary Busey crazy? No, he's a genius.
Shia LaBeouf sitting in a movie theater with the camera pointing at him for people to watch him watching a movie.
Next level.
That is the thinking of a crazy person.
I think that's what the kids call meta.
Number seven. Yeah, I'm just a big old over here. My number seven, Steve. Steve Martin Brodeur.
Sit down in a thinking chair and think. Think.
Whatever happened to Steve from Blue's Clues?
When I was pulling these noises, I actually found a thing where he was talking about how everybody thought that he went to jail or that he died or something, and he was like... No.
I heard that he was, like, a criminal of the law.
Yeah, a criminal of the law!
It's kind of like it's kind of like Mr. Rogers. The rumor where...
Oh, yeah, he was a sniper.
He was, like, one of the greatest snipers ever, and he wears the sweaters because it covers up tattoos.
I wish
none
like
of
that
that's true. I actually believed that for the longest time until I watched Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood or Won't You Be My Neighbor, whatever the documentary was. I didn't watch the Hanks movie.
I haven't seen it yet either. I heard it was good, though.
Pass. Anyway, you said that there were rumors.
Oh,
where
yeah.
is he?
He's actually like managing bands now. It might be band or bands. I'm not sure. I didn't stick around in the interview.
I want you to find
long.
Some of the work of one of these bands. I want to hear it by the end of this top 10 list. Number six. My number six, Steve. Stevie Wonderlick.
Damn, man. Why your mama breast white?
I didn't see that coming.
There were so many Steve cuts that I could not play. I was like, you know what? I'll take that.
That's the one that made the cut. Shocker.
You know me.
Pretty good. Stevie Wonderlick. Tua did not test well on the Stevie Wonderlick a few years ago. Number five. By number five, Steve. Steven Spiel Bergeron.
No, I mean, you're hitting on her own mother and you put it in writing. I mean, how dumb do you have to be?
Steve Wilkos, you ever watched Daily Access with your grandma when you acted like you were sick to stay out of school and you ended up watching trashy television all day with her instead of actually doing schoolwork and being efficient?
Totally can relate.
Yeah, just me.
Steven Spiel Bergeron. Number four! My number four, Steve. The New York Stevie Nicks.
Here we go. This is a nail hitting him in a coffin. You're dead.
Gosh, you could have really gone through the treasure trove. Steve Smith. Ice Up, son!
Keep my grass cut. There was a lot.
Everybody remembers Ice Up, son. But I think the answer he gave Albert Breer before that was even better. Where he asked, hey, what happened between you and Aqib Talib? And he responded, you're going to have to ask him. He didn't finish the game. That is the peak of 89. Number three. My number three, Steve. Nick Skiba Steve.
No, God! No, God, please, no!
That was a little bit much.
Nick Skiba Steve, man.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
You know what? I think I'm going to count it out Friday early.
Are you going to play the music? Are we officially done with today's show?
Everybody enjoy your weekend. Have a great time. It's the show's all over now.
Number two. My number two, Steve. Stevie Roy Vaughn.
I'll give you one suggestion. Run.
And number one, the number one Steve on my top 10 Steves in honor of new weight coach Steve Forbes, Steve Smith.
We don't run to the press and go, this guy's a son of a liar.
You really want to hear this music?
Oh, yeah.
You might actually know this band. I feel like you're the one that told me about them.
So we learned Steve from Blue's Clues is not, in fact, in prison. is not in fact dead. He actually is now a manager of bands, and Robert has dug up some music that Steve from Blue's Clues manages.
It's a band you actually like.
Who is it?
The Flaming Lips.
I love the Flaming Lips. Can we hear some Flaming Lips? Ah, yeah.
This is the song you dig.
I dig all of it, though. This takes me back to the summer of 2012, driving to Nashville in Texas. What's the longest you ever drove in one sitting?
I think it was 13 hours to Dallas, but I did not drive the full extent. Someone else drove some of it.
Every time I hear this song now, I'm going to think of...
The Flaming Lips, though, are you surprised?
This is what? Yoshimi versus the purple robot? Pink robot.
Yep.
Okay. I did 12 and a half hours from Nashville to Texas. I did that drive. I've also done Eastern Colorado to Louisville. To put it in perspective, I left 3:45 in the morning. So 3:45 mountain time. That's important because quickly when you get into Kansas, it's central time. So at around 5 a.m., an hour and 15 minutes into my drive, still mountain time, I get on highway, I think it's 70. And Robert, I was on highway 70. Again, 5 a.m. mountain time. I didn't get off of highway 70 until 8:30 central time. You do that math.
No, thank you. I'll take your word for it.
That's 14 hours on the same highway with a stop in Lawrence, Kansas, because I wanted to see Fog Allen Fieldhouse. So I did that.
That's worth it.
14 and a half hours, and then I got off on an exit toward Chicago, veered off, and got into Louisville at around 10:30. And I don't know how you pass time in a car, like late at night, all throughout the day. For me, it's singing, and it's spitting sunflower seeds out of my mouth out the window to see how far I can shoot it.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. Fun fact, you can't fall asleep if your mouth is moving. So singing and also chewing on things, it will keep you awake. That's a good tip. Another tip, drink a lot of fluids. So that way, if you're holding liquid and you have to go to the bathroom, that also would keep you awake as well.
Oh, that would not keep me awake. I would crash the car and they would find me with pee pants.
So I remember knowing I had to pull off in Louisville. I couldn't go anymore. I had 9 hours left on my drive to North Carolina. I knew I couldn't go any longer when a Taylor Swift song was playing. And I was singing it out loud, and I looked at myself in the rearview mirror, and I just see my eyes are drooped, and my mouth, it has no emotion singing the song. It's just, and the haters gonna hate, hate, hate. Like, that's my face. And I'm like, I got to stop. And this, I remember it being, it was the 2016 NBA Finals where LeBron came back from 3-1 down. That was game 6, right before game 7. So I got into a hotel to watch the fourth quarter, but I think I crashed before the game ended. Cleveland was blowing out Golden State.
Your lips are probably just chapped from all the salt from the, you know how that happens? Like you'll eat a whole pack and your lips are just all of a sudden so pruned up.
And the entire car is packed. I didn't have U-Haul or anything like that. I just had it all in my car.
I can respect that.
A compact car. It's all there. You couldn't even sit anyone in the passenger seat. It's all filled. I'm by myself and driving. If I'm still doing the math, getting to Eastern time, I drove what would have been around 16 hours, 16 and a half hours.
Well, next time you have a 16 an hour car ride.
Flaming Lips,
but Steve is also in another band, Steve and Steven, and they're actually working on an adult-friendly psychedelic rock children's album.
Oh, so he's actually in this band.
Yeah, he's the guitarist.
That's the stuff you should have played.
I should have thought of that.
That's fine, Robert.
Hindsight.
It's fine. I planned to get some Carolina Panthers stuff, but it'll sit. Big week, Wake basketball hiring a coach, and good news on the coronavirus front as well, which we appreciate. You are listening to WSGS Winston Salem, WCOG Greensboro, WPCM Burlington, WMFR High Point. The signal's picking up. Sports up, try it.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
This is...
What is this?
The Drive.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
You dig it?
Oh, God.
With Josh Graham on Sports Hub Triad.
So we have a ton to do, very little time to do it. Robert is going to be on B-Dot's speed dotting on IG Live next Wednesday. He's going to meet some classy ladies across the triad, and he thinks the smart approach after seeing people rip whoever was on that show this past week is to do the B-Rabbit Eminem in 8 Mile, be self-deprecating, and kind of flame yourself so that way people won't flame you as a result. So we'll get to Robert what ways he will try to be self-deprecating next week after we visit with Darren Vaught, who we share with once a week. It is Sharon with Darren from USA Baseball. It's not going to be Throwback Thursday baseball, so I guess it's Flashback Friday baseball. And Darren, the moment has arrived to do the Atlanta Braves, the most popular team in the triad. If you have submissions, not for the best players, as you're about to hear, but for the Imagine Dragons, the last decade of Atlanta Braves baseball, on Twitter at Sports Hub Triad, 336-777-1600. Let's go ahead and hit it.
We discovered who the Nickelbacks of Major League Baseball were.
Doug Minkiewicz.
Marcus Giles.
Johnny Estrada.
He might be a top five Nickelback of Major League Baseball.
Look at this photograph.
Now we're looking for the players who embodied the last decade of baseball.
Salt in a sweat?
No, not the best players. Believer. This is the Imagine Dragons of 2010's baseball.
How excited are you, Darren?
I'm excited. I'm a little uneasy. This is a difficult team for this era. Thinking about it and getting into the deep and nitty gritty of these rosters, it's kind of amazing to me that the Braves had relevant teams throughout this stretch. But I'm excited. It's the Bravos, the Barbs, as they're known throughout Braves Twitter sometimes. I'm excited.
All right, I have five players that I think are all bulletproof in terms of being Imagine Dragons. I have five who are too good. Those guys: Freddie Freeman.
Yes.
Jason 100%. Hayward. Jason Hayward is too good. Both Upton's.
Sure.
And Craig Kimbrel.
No, I'm gonna vehemently disagree with this one. When we're doing Imagine Dragons, there isn't a closer that has pitched in Major League Baseball that is not eligible for this. They just have they flame out too quickly, all of them, and that includes a guy who's gonna go down as like a top five closer ever in Craig Kimbrel. I think he's tops on it, and he's most memorable because of that freaky claw motion thing that he does.
What about Marcus Giles?
That's a Nickelback, Robert.
Okay.
So we're not looking for the best players. Don't throw Chipper Jones at us. Don't throw Freddie Freeman at us. Give us the memorable average guys. That's what we're talking about. In fact, I think there were three Imagine Dragons on one pitching staff, Darren.
Okay. I can believe that. Who do you have? Who's your first?
I'm going to hit you over the head with Mike Minor.
Yes. Right there on my list as well.
On that same pitching staff, Chris Medlin.
Of course. Chris with a K, of course.
And Julio Teheran.
Teheran, number one pitcher on my list.
Yeah! 100%. All right, give me a field position player.
I've got one, so I explained the Braves as being a little bit tough because they just post off guys at the end of their career. They had a lot of Nickelbacks that you don't remember were even Braves at one point in the early 2010s.
Dan Uglick, perfect example.
I think we mentioned this guy because of his recent retirement, and he's an Imagine Dragon for the Astros as well. Evan Gattis,
did he play long enough with Atlanta?
Strike one.
Well,
That's the thing with all of these guys, I think. And Gattis, those were his two teams, were the Braves and the Astros. So I don't know. You make the call.
I'll say that he is an imagined dragon. I get this text from intense Wake fan Kenny Herbst. Kelly Johnson.
Yeah, 100. He absolutely makes the list. I probably should have blurted him out before Gattis.
He gets the game. On Twitter, at SportsHubTriad, I have a left side of the infield that I think needs to be addressed now. Let's start with third baseman Chris Johnson.
Of course.
Once upon a time, I think he was batting cleanup for Atlanta. I wouldn't be surprised if he was. He was also a Houston Astro. I get him mixed up with the guy who was in the Tampa Rays system once upon a time was a Durham Bulls legend. Who am I thinking of?
Reed Johnson?
I think so.
He was a Blue Jay as well. Nickelback for the Blue Jays.
That is a Nickelback. And rounding out the left side of the infield, Andrelton Simmons.
Simmons, of course, yeah. No, I was wondering if we were going to be able to say it together, because that's a pretty obvious one to me.
All right, to close things out, oh man, I got text from my dad who's listening. He does not get this game at all.
I could not love that any more than I currently do.
Paul Aschenmacher? What are we doing? He was made famous by Harry Carey. That's fantastic. There are people who don't get the show, and I appreciate that. Hit me over the head with one more. The next best one on your list, Darren Vaught.
I'm going to give you a position player and a pitcher quickly. Pitcher, Shelby Miller, 1 year with the Braves, most notable with the Cardinals coming up. But he made the All-Star game and also lost 17 games. Shelby Miller.
That's really good.
And then position player, most known as an Astro, or at least in my eyes, but one of his two All-Star games with the Atlanta Braves, Michael Bourne.
Michael Bourne is a perfect way to close this segment. Darren, it's good to hear your voice. I always enjoy talking baseball with you, my friend. Thank you for doing this.
Of course. See you guys next week.
All right. He's on Twitter, at Darren Vaught. Listen to the Covering the Base, Covering the Bases USA Baseball podcast. I think that entire half of the segment was all stalling for this moment here. It's time for Robert to give us his B-Rabbit 8-Mile-esque self-deprecating. I don't want to call it a rap because he's not a rapper, though. I do want to say this is Robert's way of communicating to the ladies that he's self-aware.
A lot of people on Speed Dot and get this mixed up. They think that I'm here looking for love. Nah, I'm here looking for lust. And in that attempt, I'm going to get a couple things off my chest and let you guys know how you should really feel about me before you ever get a comment off your sticky finger.
Talk to him, Bobby Doves.
Yeah, I might be a little chunky. My armpits might be funky. But I got more money than your Uncle Bunky.
Woo!
I do have braces and I'm 26. But I also have something that hangs that gets some chicks.
Whoa! Easy.
My hair is long and it might be red. But if you pass on this, you're gonna wish you were dead. I just bought a new house. Brand new crib. So much room I could fit about 26 new women in.
Come hang out in it.
My shower's nice too. 2.5 full bath. Come over, but don't invite your dad. There's not much more else I could go to. I haven't had to go in public, so I haven't shaved in about 4 weeks, but I think I'll let it grow. It's hanging down about to my toes, but that's okay. Real dad junk going on over here. If I wore a diaper, it would be coming out of both ears.
Oh!
Make sure, if you're coming over, to take your shoes off in the front of the house.
Oh my God.
Or I'm going to have to throw you out, and all my neighbors are going to know that you are an unsavory lady. Please come back tomorrow in the darker times. I am not a rapper. Don't ever have me. I know
turn the snare up in my headphones. Mike is on. Mike is on.
I hope we don't do Freestyle Friday anymore.
Yeah. Mike DeCourcy will be on in 20 minutes. How about that? Robert spits that hot fire as if he's Dallin Cuff here. We'll have Greg Marshall on the show at 5:30. Good stuff as always. This was the song I always got super jacked to.
Too jacked.
You need to fade this out or else I'm going to get in a fight with somebody. There's nobody in this building but us.
It's just me and you.
I think our engineer's here. I'm going to get in a fight with him.
Yeah, Rob, come in here. Josh would like to box you if you could hear this.
That's right. Kickboxing. Need to get back to the folks at 9 Round. That's what I need to do. Get after it a little bit. Nah, it was that song. It was Clocks by Coldplay, getting ready for soccer games in high school. That's what got me ready, man. Lose Yourself in Clocks. Maybe that explains why I wasn't the greatest soccer player out there. There's some self-reflection going on in here.
Clocks. Hey, you know what really gets me jazzed up? Clocks.
Would you be offended if I told you to look up that song so people know exactly what we're talking about here?
No, I think I have it. Hold on.
Okay. And you could just try and picture me on the way to a soccer match riding in my 98 Ford Explorer. That's just dirty as hell. Mountain Dew cans all across the floorboards. I mean, I haven't given this thing a car wash in years. And here I am, getting ready to ride the bench for 3 out of my 4 years in school. It wasn't my senior year I started in. It was my junior year, because that makes sense. Somehow I think this is kind of right on the nose.
This is like the music at the end of the movie as it's doing the slow zoom out on the back of the player. And it's like, Josh went on to score no goals that season. He didn't get any interceptions either.
I scored plenty of goals.
Off the field. With the ladies.
On the field too. Is Steve Forbes the best coaching candidate Wake Forest has ever landed? I'll make the case next.